There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick.
End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Conference Championship Weekend for NFL Friday. We're getting down to the stretch run, guys. Only 3 more weeks. You want to count that little week in between for the Pro Bowl festivities. That's always pretty interesting. But only 3 weeks left for this NFL season. It's been fun. And here we are once again, a conference championship weekend. A lot of different matchups. History on the line. First-timers making their mark, hopefully, in Jaden Daniels and a few others. But it should be a very, very fun weekend. It's NFL playoffs, nothing really gets better than that. But how's it going, everybody? Will Talent with you. Alongside me is Eli Keeler and Grace McCarron, our crew from last week. We're going to run it back as we go forth with these NFL playoffs and our own NFL Friday Pick'em playoffs. Myself, I've been eliminated from postseason contention along with Lou Orlando, and it's just Grace, Eli, and Joe Henry now to make it to the Super Bowl. One will remain, and the others will stay with me and Lou. But it's been fun. It's been a fun little playoff run. You two have done really well. Eli, huge week last week, coming from behind to make it to the conference championship section. Really, really nice job. We'll get into our NFL Friday Pick'em segment more towards the end. Before we get into anything, though, Eli, Grace, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing really well, man. Giants aren't in it, and obviously every year that hurts me, but I still have fun in the playoffs. Last week I had a lot of fun. A lot of my friends here at Fordham are Eagles fans, so went to our local bar, Clinton Hall, and I had a lot of fun. Every first down, I'm up in the whole bar. Rams first down, and you know, I got some mean looks, maybe some bad words, but it's all worth it. It's all part of the fun. So I'm really excited for this coming week, do a similar thing. As much as it hurts to root for the Commanders, super easy to hate the Eagles. So up in that bar, first down.
Yeah, I'm excited for the conference championships. A lot of really interesting storylines, and also in the divisional round, but a lot of interesting storylines still remaining. Obviously, the Chiefs still alive for the three-peat. The Eagles with Saquon Barkley, which is very much hurtful to me. So happy for him, but hurts me personally. The Commanders, first rookie quarterback to start in a Super Bowl if they get that far. So there's a lot to look forward to, and I'm super excited for this weekend.
Well, let's get right into it then. And before we start any playoff talk, I want to briefly go over this coaching carousel that's taken place over the last week or so, with the Lions being eliminated, both of their coordinators in new respective positions now as head coaches. A lot of questions now looming over the Detroit Lions as they try to uphold this great standard that they've created in this great culture. Two of Dan Campbell's most trusted and best coordinators off to different adventures. And let's start with the Jets. We'll go with the local squad first. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, one of the better defensive coordinators in the National Football League. He takes that Jets job. First-time head coach. Really solid resume. He played 15 years in the NFL. And he also played for the Jets from 1994 to 2001. He was a first-round pick as well in 1994. And he's had about a 10-year career so far as a coach. He started with the Cleveland Browns as an assistant defensive backs coordinator from 2014 to 2015. And then over to the Saints with some really, really good teams under Sean Payton at the latter portion of Drew Brees' career. From 2016 to 2020, he was the defensive backs coach there. And most recently, in 2021 to 2024, he's been the DC of the Detroit Lions. So overall, let's start with reactions. I'll go with you, Eli. What do you think of this move, and what does it mean for the Jets moving forward?
I'm actually really excited for this one. Excuse me. I'm usually just Jets in general. I'm skeptical about everything, but I'm actually super excited for this one. This also, you know, for Lions fans, this is just how it goes. Your team's good. Your coaching is good. You lose your OC in DC. Lions will figure it out. DC to head coach now for the Jets. I'm very excited, and here's why, is because my whole life, at least as long as I can remember, when you think Jets, when I think Jets, I think defense, generally. They always, maybe not have a good defense, they always at least have good players on defense. And I think that kind of sums up this year, where they have some serious talent on defense, 5-12 still. But you just need a really good defensively minded coach to really bring it out of the guys, organize the guys, so you can show up and actually play good defense all year. Obviously, there's an offensive problem too. I'm not saying the Jets are going to be good next year. Definitely not saying that, especially if, you know, you had hope for Rodgers gone, probably. So even if you consider Rodgers the answer, he's not there anymore. So now you're left with, like, Tyrod Taylor. So you need to find a quarterback. Wide receiver help could also be necessary if no Devontae Adams. So you're missing a couple key pieces on offense. But generally, one more point, actually, is I read in an article that apparently it's his dream job to coach the New York Jets.
There you go.
Played there for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Was a scout for them. So I don't think it's just another, like, high-quality DC coming to the Jets. I think he's super-duper-duper bought in. Like, he's been waiting for this forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I like this move a lot for the Jets as well. You mentioned that he played for them for a while. I think he's one of the most qualified candidates outside of the guys who have had head coaching positions before. One of the most qualified candidates that was out there in this cycle. He was a defensive backs coach. He was the defensive coordinator. He was a scout. He worked in a ton of different roles, and he's worked under so many, like, unreal NFL coaches: Parcells, Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton. But in his press conference, I believe yesterday, he emphasized that. Or actually, no, I don't think it was in the press conference, but he emphasized that he learned a lot from these coaches, but they will be getting, like, just Aaron Glenn. You know, it's not like he's going to be a copycat of those guys, even though they're icons in the sport. And it's fantastic that he's had that experience with them, but he's very disciplined, and I think this team needs that. They need a lot of help, but I really love this hire for them.
That's the big thing, I think, for this, a takeaway for this hire, is how disciplined the Lions defense has been over the last 3 years or so. They weren't so, we'll say, put together when he first arrived, and he's turned them into one of the best defenses in all of football. Where this differs from Saleh is that, first of all, he's a little bit older. That I think that definitely matters. And he's also coached for a lot longer than Saleh has. Saleh started as the DC right away. No defensive backs, linebacker, whatever, if you want to be a specialist. That's what Aaron Glenn started as. He was a specialist in defensive backing. Saleh was the DC from the jump in San Francisco. Now, very, very good defenses under Robert Saleh, but then immediately became a head coach, and now we see where he stands. I think he's still a very viable option for a defensive coordinator position, and it looks like he may go back to the 49ers. That would be interesting, but Aaron Glenn brings a lot more experience to the table, a little bit more of a footprint in New York, specifically with the Jets. It's very important. I was just talking to our producer in the back, Kurt Sipple, about my opinions on the move. Didn't like it initially. Can see where the positives are, and I will stay with that. I want to see the results. I think that's how it always goes with the Jets. You gotta see the results, because who knows? This could end up being another Adam Gase situation where it just is a complete dumpster fire, where the Jets can't get it right. But I like the move culturally. I think it makes a lot of sense. For me, my biggest concern is their offense, and that's maybe why I don't like the move as much. I wanted them to more target the offensive side of things, especially with Garrett Wilson being as disgruntled as he is. It's a receiver that you don't want to leave. It's kind of like with the Giants. You want to do everything that you can to keep Malik Nabers in, and the Jets should be doing the same thing with Garrett Wilson. So figuring out that offensive scheme and how they would operate, it's a big step. But, you know, they don't have a quarterback right now other than Tyrod Taylor. They probably want to get a little bit younger and keep Taylor as a backup because he's very solid in that role. But we'll see how it unfolds. I think it's a solid hire. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but congratulations to Aaron Glenn. I love the cultural aspect to it and the lineage that he brings from his past as a player with the New York Jets. Very, very fun. On the opposite end for the Lions, Ben Johnson, that was more to be expected, I think, in terms of him taking a head coaching position. He, as soon as they lost, he made it known to Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions brass that he would be taking a head coaching position. Where that would be, it was yet to be determined. He denied the offer. I don't know if it was official, but I want to say that the Jaguars made an offer to him. He denied that. And we'll get into the Jaguars in a little bit because they just fired their general manager, and that had a lot to do with Ben Johnson saying no to the Jaguars, didn't like the, in quotes, setup that the Jaguars had. And I think that's very respectable. That it was there is a lot going on there, and they have a lot more to figure out. One of, I believe, three teams that still need a head coach. It might be four, but at least three teams that need a head coach. But Ben Johnson goes to the Bears, stays in the NFC North. I love that. There was also something about him saying he wants to beat Matt LaFleur. This is I love it. It's great. The NFC North just continues to be really good, and the Bears make a move that will hopefully benefit them. I think that they need to stay offensive minded. You want to cater to Caleb Williams. You tanked pretty well for him, and you traded some different assets to get him as well, and you got some assets to get him. There was a lot of work and a lot of framework that went around getting Caleb Williams, so hopefully they have their guy. I know Cliff Kingsbury was a name that was thrown out there for this job, but Ben Johnson, one of the more highly referred offensive coordinators out there. Grace, let's go to you first. Thoughts on this move?
I love this for the Bears. I mean, first of all, I loved that he said he wanted to stay in the division when all three of the other teams made the playoffs this year.
Yep.
I thought that was awesome. Like, I love that mentality. The team, obviously, I think you alluded to it a little bit, Will. Like, they need leadership. They need someone who can cater to Caleb Williams because he showed flashes this year of being really, really solid. Obviously, rookie season, it was up and down. But you do want to calibrate the offense with him in mind, and I think Ben Johnson is going to do that. And he also sent the message to the entirety of the team, get comfortable being uncomfortable, which I like that a lot also. Like, I think he said all the right things when he was first hired, and I just love it for the Bears. I think this is going to, like, turn the ship around with them a little bit.
I agree. I really like it. You got to get someone who is going to – I mean, you just invested – like, your whole future is Caleb Williams, most of it. So you got to get someone to cater to him. But it does bring up the question, like, we're just talking about the Jets, too. Do you get the OC, like, if you need offense like the Jets do, do you go for OC to kind of cater to Caleb, or do you go with your strengths, get a DC? Now we see the other side. It looks like both teams went with their strengths. Like, Jets get a DC coach up their defense. Obviously, he's going to help with their offense. He's going to be the head coach, but it's really defensively minded. Bears went the other way, go offensively minded with the offense coordinator. Looks like teams are playing to their strengths, which makes a lot of sense. And I really like it for the Bears because they do have a ton of potential on offense. Caleb Williams, you know, supposed to be a generational talent, wasn't the best rookie quarterback this year by any means. Jaden Daniels and probably Bo Nix ahead of him. So you definitely expect more from him, and hopefully Johnson can pull it right out of him. But I also like what you're talking about, Will, with the GMs and why he didn't go to Jacksonville, because that's a huge part that, like, some – like, I honestly kind of didn't really think about with the Jets is Jets don't even have a GM.
Yeah.
So that's one reason to be massively skeptical. It's like, this coach could be a great coach, and he could just get screwed. Mm-hmm. You know, some GMs are just not that good. And with, the, like, Giants, I personally think is a good example of this is I really like Dabble. I like him a good amount. Like, I'll say, like, 70% am with him. Shane is a dumpster fire, honestly. So, like, that's a good example of, you know, if you put Dable in a different situation with a good GM, this Giants team could be special. And Dable, coach of the year winner. Dable could be looked at as one of the best coaches in the league right now. Shane, you know, does what he does with the roster, and it's a completely different story. Could happen with the Jets. Bears, I like his direction to say, okay, the Bears have more comfortable with their GM and their roster right now. I'm going to just step right in and lead them to victory.
And with Ben Johnson, definitely very young, but has that coaching experience that Aaron Glenn has. Now, I do like that Aaron Glenn is in his early 50s, so he's seen a lot more football than Ben Johnson. He also played more football as well. He played for like 15 years in the NFL. But Ben Johnson immediately, as soon as he graduated college, he went right into coaching. He was a graduate assistant for Boston College for his first 2 years and then a tight ends coach in his last year at Boston College. And then he spent some time, about 6 or 7 years, with the Miami Dolphins, doing a lot of different offensive-minded things, working with the wide receivers, working with the quarterbacks, and then over to Detroit, where he had been since 2019 up until this point. So I think this was the right move. This is the guy that the Bears really, really wanted to get as well, and they waited out to get him. But let's go to Jacksonville. Let's go to the Raiders real quick. They just hired a new general manager, but they're still looking for a head coach after firing Antonio Pierce after about a year and a half. And it, wow, got a little cough today. It seems as though Pete Carroll is in the lead and is the front runner for this position, which I don't mind. He's a great head coach. He's one of the most winningest coaches of all time. He's got a lot of success both in college and in the NFL. It would be, I think, just pretty interesting overall if he does come back, and that's the guy that the ownership chooses under Tom Brady and company now. But I think that would be pretty interesting for the Raiders. They definitely need a lot of offensive help. They need a lot of help all over the place, really. Their brightest spot is Max Crosby. So I don't know. I think it would be pretty cool for Pete Carroll to come back. Maybe this is the type of coach, Eli, that the Raiders really need to just kind of kickstart something going back. Because when John Gruden came over, despite how it ended, which wasn't very pretty, he did bring them back a little bit, though. They were more competitive, and they definitely were not the 3-4 win team that they were this year.
Totally. I don't hate Pete Carroll as the head coach option, just because I'm kind of with you that he could be kind of that bridge guy. He's here for, I don't know, 2-3 years, just gets everybody going, gets some passion behind some players who aren't maybe so hopeful. Then you start drafting better guys to sprinkling in, the team's getting a little better, you're on the verge of victory. Maybe he stays if he's really nice, but probably more of like a, then we replace him with a coach who's really, I don't know. I just don't feel like, I feel like Pete Carroll's on the way out. You know, I don't feel
he's
like
he's in his 70s. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's going to be here coaching for a ton longer. So maybe he's that bridge guy that can help some young talent who's coming in really get going. So by the time it's 2-3 years down the line and you really have potentially a lot of talent coming in, guys who are already there are really with the program, really passionate, really, really want it. Yeah, it could be a good bridge guy. I don't hate it, but there are probably better options too.
Yeah, I don't hate this either. I think this franchise seemed a little lost over the past couple years, like with the way the John Gruden thing ended. This would just mean a little bit of stability, even with all of the help you said they need. Carroll's a proven winner. He went to the Super Bowl twice with the Seahawks. When you add up all his years of NFL experience, he's 30 years. Like, you would think, and I know a lot of people have maybe some issues with him being 73, which I guess I see that. But also, like, when you have that much NFL experience, you have to see a lot of different things. And some people might say, oh, he's going to be too old school. And I don't personally think that that's always true. And I think this franchise kind of just needs a stable bridge piece. I agree with what you said, Eli, on the bridge. Like, he's probably not going to be there for 10 years. Like, you just need someone for a couple years who can kind of right the ship a little bit and help embolden a franchise that clearly needs it and where they are right now.
Yeah, they definitely need that direction. Not only did the Gruden saga end very poorly, but the Josh McDaniels experiment also ended horrendously. Now he ends up back in New England as the offensive coordinator for Mike Vrabel for a third stint in New England. One more coaching aspect, we don't even have to get into it because personally I don't really know too much about this guy, but it did come out about 45 minutes ago that the Cowboys are closing in on hiring Brian Schottenheimer to be their next head coach, and that's just another name out there and another team that crosses off a need at head coach, leaving just about the Jacksonville Jaguars to right their ship in terms of front office and then, of course, a head coach. So, but I think that's about enough for head coaches. We'll hear more as the season ends and maybe more guys are available, specifically with the Chiefs and Bills and Eagles and Commanders, four teams still in the midst of their season. But let's talk about those seasons right now, and let's do a little bit of a recap for these divisional playoffs. Let's start with the AFC, the Chiefs and the Texans. Very solid football game. The Chiefs, they win by 9. Another game in this season where the Chiefs, once again, they don't really dominate, but they get the job done. They don't really need to dominate. They just know how to win at this point. It's not this juggernaut that we're accustomed to seeing, but still a proven winner for sure. Mahomes, 16 for 25, 177 yards and one touchdown. He did get sacked 3 times. Not the best of games for him, but a lot of those yards did go to Travis Kelce, and that was a pretty cool connection to see. It's going down as one of the best that we've ever seen. Kelce, 7 receptions for 117 yards and a touchdown, his longest being 49, and he was targeted 8 times, so catching more than the majority of passes thrown to him. And that was really the highlight. Their defense was very solid, only gave up 14 points. The rush game was very quiet. To be honest, they didn't really have a ton there. Kareem Hunt, he did rush in for a touchdown. But outside of Kelce and Mahomes, that's all the Chiefs really needed to succeed last weekend.
It's really cool to see that connection. You know, as much as I, you know, don't want the Chiefs to win, is that connection was a little bit absent during the regular season. It's really cool to see them come back in the postseason and look just exactly like the Chiefs. It's kind of annoying, too. But also, for part of me that doesn't like the Chiefs and doesn't want them to three-peat, it's still a legacy. Like, it's a legacy. It's an amazing run that they're having. So you got to appreciate. You got to soak it in. And there is something to say about there's something intangible. They just find a way to win. Like, Mahomes didn't objectively have a great day passing, but they just continue to win. And What's really scary about the Chiefs this year, and this isn't necessarily different than other years, but in this Texans game, looked really apparent, and this was also a little bit questionable during the regular season, their defense looked really good.
Yeah.
8 sacks. They were just all over CJ Stroud. Spagnuolo was blitzing out the wazoo. It felt like every other play was a blitz. Former Giant coach, shout out. But
Super Bowl champ, too.
Super Bowl champ. Look at that. But they were just aggressive on defense, going after Stroud. It's easier to play that game with Stroud than it is with Josh Allen, definitely. I feel like it's going to be harder to be aggressive against the Bills because they'll punish you. Texans are not going to punish you as much. That's just Josh Allen being a dog. No disrespect to CJ Stroud. So Chiefs, as we predicted, kind of soundly won this one. Even though the score looks pretty close, this is the Chiefs game like the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, the eight sacks on CJ Stroud was outrageous. Started to feel bad for the guy at some point. Special teams for Houston as well. The kicker missing the field goal for 55 yards and an extra point. That's not great. It kind of just seemed like some things came together to get in the Texans' way. Even with the Chiefs, like, Patrick Mahomes didn't have his best game ever, but some things just came together to go against the Texans today. But I mean, C.J. Stroud had a decent day other than being sacked 8 times, 245 yards is what he threw for. So, not mad about it. Just kind of expected. Like, no, I mean, it would have been a ridiculous upset if the Texans beat the Chiefs. And, you know, Texans can be proud of themselves for this season, I think. Nothing to be ashamed of.
They really didn't play all that bad in this game outside of the sacks. The offensive line pretty much being a turnstile all the way around. It's not no recipe for success there. George Karloftis, 3 sacks on the day. He really ate up. But even the Houston defense was pretty solid. Will Anderson had 2 sacks of his own, 3 tackles for a loss. They have a very bright future. I know that their record may not reflect total dominance. They did win their division. I know it's an easier division, but this team was very young last year and a lot more exciting because of how young they were, and now a lot of them in year 2. Now they're going to be in year 3, And I think they become a little bit more threatening, and we'll see what they do in the offseason. They can definitely plug in some holes on the defense, probably getting Stephon Diggs back. So a lot of question marks, but still a very solid season for the Texans. And yeah, CJ Stroud did play really well too. I know he didn't throw for any touchdowns, but he didn't throw for any picks, and 245 yards on 19 of 28 passing. That's very solid for a second-year quarterback playing the best team in football right now and over the last 6 years or so. So the season does come to an end, and the Chiefs do move on to another conference championship. Now, staying in the AFC, let's take a look at that Bills-Ravens game. What a game that was. The Bills, they win 27-25. It went all the way down to the failed two-point conversion by the Ravens, and that was a heartbreaker. That was definitely a heartbreaker to watch. Lamar Jackson played exceptionally well. Josh Allen, you know, he wasn't even spectacular, but he did do the job that they needed. No touchdowns for Josh Allen other than two rushing touchdowns. But in the air, they didn't really need a ton out of him. He went 16 for 22 with 127 yards. Only got sacked one time. On the ground, they were solid. They played a very sound offensive game. No one really stood out in that way. Now, for the Ravens, though, Lamar Jackson played very well. Derrick Henry played really well. Even Justice Hill on the rushing side had a very solid game. Receiving-wise, once again, they all played pretty solidly. Isaiah Likely, 4 receptions for 73 yards and a touchdown. Rashad Bateman, 4 catches, 66 yards and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, I think, is where we should start for the Ravens. 5 catches for 61 yards, a crucial fumble in the fourth quarter. They do get a stop on the Bills, and they're able to get the ball back. And then the Ravens score, and then that two-point conversion. Oh, man, the hate for Mark Andrews. I hate it for him because he's a great tight end, but, man, that ball was right in the breadbasket. Yeah. And he just couldn't come up with a grace.
That was pretty devastating. That was kind of the nail in the coffin there. I will say, shout out to Bills Mafia, who are donating like a ton of money to his charity, which I think is wonderful. Awesome. They do that a lot. That's awesome. One of the best fan bases in the NFL. But yeah, obviously devastating for Mark Andrews. I mean, there were a couple of things with the Ravens in this game. Like, Lamar Jackson was like not as perfect as he usually is, which I know is a lot to ask, because his whole theme this season has been he makes all these plays and he usually doesn't make mistakes, but they had 3 turnovers, pass for an interception, and fumbled while, like, there were just a few moments that kind of, like, when you're playing a team like the Bills, they're not going to just ignore those kinds of things. They're not going to let it slide. So it makes sense that this is the way it went, but it is heartbreaking for the Ravens. Great season. And I will say, I did say last week that I thought the Bills defense would struggle, like, keeping up with Lamar and Derrick Henry. Did not at all. So
no, they looked,
that was my bad, but
no, they looked really good. And that is, like, I feel bad for Mark Andrews, for one, but I really feel bad for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Because
he is such a dog. And, you know, not to get on Mark Andrews, but Mark Andrews pretty much sells it this year. I won't say, I mean, not sells it, because it would have still gone to OT and who knows, but Lamar's knocked out of the playoffs with a Mark Andrews drop this year. It was basically a, I'm blanking on his name, another drop last year that killed him.
Zay Flowers
dropping the playoffs last year that killed him. I just feel like this is just how, this is NFL football. This is NFL playoff football. Is you just one teeny little stupid little error and it's all over and Cancun for you. So that sucks. But I will say, this is the whole reason I picked the Bills last week, is that Josh Allen is a dog, and he only had 127 yards passing, but they get in the red zone and they say, Josh, just get this ball in the end zone, and he does. He has 2 rushing touchdowns. He's been doing this all year. They get inside the 5 or the 10, and he just takes the ball in himself. And, like, yeah, you're inside the 10-yard line, you should score a touchdown. Like, that should be automatic, but in reality, it's not, and Josh Allen makes that automatic. And it's him and James Cook in the red zone. That's just gross. It's always the passing threat of Josh Allen, too, so you have to defend that, and then he's, you know, elite on his legs. And we saw that twice from him last weekend. securing touchdowns is what it's about, obviously. So, I mean, I guess that's pretty much all I have to say, but it does suck for the Ravens. Like, you never know what would have happened in OT. Mark Andrews could have brought it to OT, and we see something completely different. But yeah, again, that's playoff football, and the reality is the Bills win, and that's where we are.
The Bills' defense played really, really solidly, too. That's a very, very good offense that they went up against, too, in the Baltimore Ravens. Damar Hamlin, the leader in tackles for the Bills at 8. He also had a sack and 2 tackles for a loss, had a really, really solid game. Also a candidate for comeback player of the year, all of those candidates for the awards week before the Super Bowl were announced. Actually, I don't believe it's the week before. I think it's the day before. But nevertheless, all of those candidates were announced. But the Bills, they move on. It's going to be another really, really fun AFC championship and another it's like this new rivalry, the Chiefs and the Bills. It's like the Packers, not the Packers, the Patriots and the Steelers once were. And here we are with the Chiefs and the Bills. Really, really exciting stuff. Before we talk about that matchup, though, let's go over to the NFC side and talk about probably the biggest upset of the entire playoffs so far. The Washington Commanders go into Detroit, hang 45 on that really, really tough defense, and come out with a victory and are now matching up against the Philadelphia Eagles for the NFC championship game. That is unbelievable. I can't believe I just said that. And watching that game, I was stunned the whole way around how this Detroit defense looked. It was just shocking. Their offense was what it was all year long, too. Jared Goff, 313 yards. He did throw 3 really, really ugly interceptions. But Jahmyr Gibbs, 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 137 yards on 8 catches. The Lions offense came to play. They put up 31 points. That's nothing to sneeze at. But this Commanders offense, though, Jaden Daniels, have a game, man. 22 for 31, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. The rushing game was very strong between Brian Robinson and Jaden Daniels. Brian Robinson had 77 yards for 2 touchdowns, and Jaden Daniels, he shows those flashes of Lamar Jackson where if they really need a first down and no one's open, Jaden Daniels will get that first down because you just can't catch him. You cannot catch him. He puts up 51 yards on the ground. And they're receiving as well, very, very solid. Terry McLaurin, 87 yards and a touchdown. Really happy for Terry McLaurin, too. He's played on some really bad Commanders teams, and now he's here, and he came to play. This offense all the way around was just spectacular. The defense, in terms of this week, is where things get a little bit dicey. I don't know if the Commanders will have the same luck against the Eagles in terms of defense, but they're rolling right now. And that's all that really matters. But Eli, a stunning turn of events in the NFC. Can't believe the Commanders are there, but shout out Jaden Daniels. What a season.
What a season. How could you not love this guy? I'm a Giants fan, and I love Jaden Daniels. I'm rooting for the Commanders. It's a hate Eagles thing this week, but I love, like, I'm so with the Commanders. I'm so behind Jaden Daniels.
Somebody's got to win.
Yeah, that's so true.
It won't be the Giants.
It never is.
Usually not.
With Jaden, you talk about like the flashes of Lamar where he has that feet game and can just make plays similar to Josh Allen. But you're right, it's really Lamar. And not to dig on C.J. Stroud, but I want to bring it back to him for a second. Sacked 8 times, O-line didn't look good. That's kind of what separates, I think, C.J. Stroud to a little bit of like one tier below Lamar, Josh, and I think Jaden Daniels. I think after this game, Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback than C.J. Stroud. Straight up, I take Jaden Daniels every day of the week. He's a dog. One thing I will say is Jared Goff 3 picks definitely helped the Commanders out, but they ran with it. They put up 45 points, so you know they still came to play. They were in it the whole time, and those 3 picks put them over. But they can't squander any opportunities. Little interesting thing, too, I saw. I forget if it was Dan Campbell or the Lions GM, but he was talking about how he wasn't It said Jared Goff is in his prime right now, which is an interesting take, and wasn't worried at all about where he's going. Obviously, you have to boost some confidence into your quarterback and your team. Jared Goff just threw three picks in a team he was supposed to. They were supposed to pretty much smoke. So, not a good look for Jared Goff. Not a good look for the Lions, losing their OC and their DC too. They still have a very good roster. I'm sure they'll be back next year in some fashion, but it does kind of feel like this is their best chance, and they kind of missed it.
Yeah, you kind of, like, the Lions defense, I don't want to say floundered because I feel like it's a strong word, but letting the Commanders put up their franchise postseason record, 45 points in Detroit as well, and the Lions are the one seed. Like, you can't let that happen. That kind of kicks the morale a little bit for the Lions. They've endured so much this season. They had a lot of injuries, Detroit, and it's amazing that they got to be the number one seed and host in the playoffs. But eventually, it's like the Commanders kind of were on this tear that's – it's almost just like it just has to keep going, you know? It feels like it has to – I don't know if it's like the football gods or like, yeah, rookie quarterback going to the Super Bowl, like something like that. But it feels like that kind of thing just has to keep going, and things just lined up for the Commanders, because usually you would think like, yeah, the Lions are going to run away with this one, but they didn't. And quarterback Jared Goff, you mentioned it, Eli, he was not on his game today. I feel like – I'm not totally always sure about him, a quarterback, and I think that was adhered to this week. But huge props to the Commanders, absolutely behind them this weekend. Like, fully, you know, it makes my stomach turn a little bit, but so happy for Jaden Daniels. Wish he was the Giants quarterback. Could have been. We all watched Hard Knocks, but... yeah, super happy for him, and hope they pull off another huge upset in Philly this weekend.
Giants had to win those three games, too, for the fun, for the culture.
Just for fun.
For the culture, and they missed out on Jaden Daniels. But that's all right. We got Malik Nabers, and honestly, I'd rather have Malik Nabers right now, because bring in a quarterback, and you have Malik Nabers. So true. There you go.
Yeah.
But
Dale Robinson will.
There he is, yes. Jalen Hyatt. Let's go. Yes. Oh, man, the Giants. It's so depressing. Go Giants, though. That pick six, too, from Quan Martin, I think was quite the dagger, and it wasn't even, like, early on. It was just very stunning to see. And the Commanders, from that point on, were full throttle the whole way.
Can I make one point, too?
Absolutely, you can.
Dude, the Jameson Williams pick?
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gosh, like, that frustrated me so much. You see that in the regular season, and, like, commentators are just, like, the whole way this play works, you get a guy you can really trust, and half the time, more than half the time you run this play, you're just throwing it out of bounds, because he's not open. You're not a quarterback. Don't force that throw. I get it's the playoffs. You want to make a play. It's a big game. Gotta be more disciplined than that. Like, you have to just throw that ball away, because that was such a sell from Jameson Williams. On top of the three picks from Jared Goff, to have a fourth from your receiver, that's ridiculous. That's sloppy. So I had to make that point.
It's questionable play calling. Now, if it worked, we're having a different conversation, but at the end of the day, it's the risk that they were willing to take, and it's something that they had done all year along with all of their offensive guys just trying to make throws. But in that situation, it was very head-scratching for sure, and it ended up being one of the worst turnovers for the Lions all game long. But here we are, the Commanders in the championship game. The Lions at home watching with a lot of questions looming over them in terms of personnel. And that's got to be number one, how they're going to be able to replicate. You're not going to be able to replicate either, but just bring in two guys that can sustain the culture that Glenn and Johnson were able to build on both sides of the ball next to Dan Campbell. It's going to be a tall task, but and the Commanders 28 points in the second quarter. That's ridiculous. Wow.
That's insane.
But yeah, that is insane. 31 points in the first half. They came to play, though. They came to play, and they will be playing the Eagles now in the NFC Championship game at Lincoln Memorial Stadium in Philly. Let's talk about that game, too. That was exciting, and it was fun. It was in the snow. That was it reminded me of the Lions-Bears game from many years ago. In the snow, it just makes things a little bit cooler, in my opinion. It's the elements of the game and the season that we're in as well. But the Rams, hard-fought game. The way that they were going to win this game is if they outcoached the Eagles, and they were on a solid trajectory for that. Sean McVay pressing all the right buttons. The Eagles out-talented them, I think, though. And I think it reflects with the score here. 28-22 wasn't a dominating win for the Eagles whatsoever. But I will say their dominance comes from Saquon Barkley. It's not even close. 205 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. He's inevitable. He really just is. He deserves it too. He is showing that he is the running back that everyone thought he was coming out of Penn State. Couldn't quite get there with the Giants despite how good he really was. And that's the Giants' fault. We'll have that conversation until he's done playing and probably beyond if the Giants are really that miserable still. But 205 yards, and there's always room for more too. There's always room for more. I could totally see him dominating this game against the Commanders as well. They didn't really need a ton out of Jalen Hurts and the offense in terms of passing. A.J. Brown only had 14 yards on 2 catches. Devontae Smith, 21 yards on 4 catches. Their leading receiver is Dallas Goedert at 56 yards. And even Saquon had 27 yards on 4 catches in his own right. But it was the rushing that brought the Eagles to another championship game and potentially a Super Bowl. But the Rams, they also didn't play that bad of a game whatsoever. They put up a fight all the way until the very end. Matthew Stafford, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns on 44 attempts, 0 picks. Kyren Williams, 19 carries, 106 yards. Puka Nacua, 97 yards on 6 catches. They played a great ball game. They really, really did. But like I said, though, Eli, they got out-talented, I think.
It's so true. It was absolutely like that. You see Matt Stafford, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. He balled out. A couple of fumbles, only lost one of them. Kyren fumbled too. That's where it hurts you. But, Eagles have more talent, and it comes with Saquon Barkley for sure, and it comes with Jalen Carter.
Mm.
Jalen Carter, 2 sacks, 2 passes defended for the big guy? Come on. He's everywhere. Look at that. That's gross. If you have a guy like Jalen Carter rushing up the middle, clogging up that middle, that's so hard to beat. Because
3 QB
so,
hits, too.
Oh, my gosh.
It's still so wild he fell to them in that draft, too.
He's so good. He's so good. And that's the scary thing about the Eagles is you think about how, like, just all around good their team is, but they have, like, some really, like, generational players on both sides of the ball, specifically Saquon, Jalen Carter, even, like, Gardner Johnson. Their secondary is gross. So, yeah, they did get all talented, and I worry for the Commanders a little bit because one way they struggled, I mean, I worried for them a lot against the Eagles, but one way is that Jahmyr Gibbs had, like, 14 rushes for 105 yards or something. 2 touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs ran all over the Commanders. Saquon, it's going to be worse with Saquon. They're going to give him the ball more, and he's going to go to work because he's the best back behind the best offensive line, arguably, in the league right now. So that's where I worry for the Commanders. But at the same time, one thing we went over last week is that we know the Commanders are going to give up points. Facing really good teams with high-powered offenses, they're going to go to work on them. The question is, can the Commanders ball out and just score more points? What we saw from the Lions, put up 45. You can't beat a team who puts up 45. It's ridiculous. But this is better defense. Jalen Carter amongst everybody else. I mean, it's all-around really good defense. It's going to be a really, really tough defense to get that high-powered offense going. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, here's a fun little nugget for you guys.
Love it.
Saquon Barkley has 6 touchdown runs of at least 60 yards this season. 4 of them came against the Rams.
Wow.
So that kind of was a match made in heaven for Saquon Barkley. That 70-yard touchdown run late in the game was just so beautiful, and it basically sealed the game for the Eagles. It was close. I will hand it to the Rams. They played a wonderful game, especially when you consider the Rams this season. Started the season 1-4. They had a lot of young players come in. All's good. They had some injuries to their best receivers. They win the division in a division where it was a little bit up and down. And then the stories with the LA fires, like, obviously, they have a lot to be proud of. But the Eagles are just too good. You said it, Eli. They're good on everything. And my one little tiny concern with them this week against Washington might be Jalen Hurts. He got a little bit banged up in the third quarter. He should probably be fine. His mobility might be a little compromised, but he can just rely on Saquon Barkley, which is the beautiful thing about having Saquon Barkley on your team. So, yeah.
Well, that's actually a really good point. Sorry, before you go, Will, is Commanders beat the Eagles like second or third week without Jalen Hurts. Kenny Pickett at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
So if Kenny Pickett's there instead of Hurts,
yeah,
whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
It was pretty recently, too. They split the head-to-head, and I know Jalen Hurts wasn't there, but the Commanders did pull through in that one. What makes the Eagles really scary to me, as you were mentioning, Eli, with their secondary, is how young their secondary is, too. Mm-hmm. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean both nominated for Defensive Rookies of the Year.
Wow.
And those are just two guys on top of everyone that they got there. It may be Quinyon Mitchell as well that wins it. And he had an unbelievable rookie season. But they just have the depth. That's what they've had for many years now, and they just haven't quite been able to win it all. Tough matchups. They lost that Super Bowl to the Chiefs. But even in that year, the year after that, where they lose to the Bucks, that was still one of the deepest defensive lines I think I've seen in a while. Jalen Carter wasn't necessarily starting all the time. They were just rotating their defensive line guys in, and they were still dominating last year. I will say for the Rams, though, they get very overshadowed with how good the Eagles are and how good the Lions are. And I will say, next year, with how good the Niners are, I still believe that's a really good football team. But in terms of last year and just how competitive the Rams have been over the last few years, those three teams really overshadow how good the Rams can be. They took advantage of a down year from the Niners and won the division and won a playoff game. But ever since that Super Bowl, they traded all those draft picks away. They really didn't have any young talent. Yet Sean McVay and company have been able to keep the Rams very competitive in what is typically a pretty tough NFC West. You never know what you're going to get out of the Seahawks. The Niners are usually pretty good. The Cardinals this year put together a solid string of wins. I know they're not the best team that you can have out there, but they put together a very solid string of wins. They were a competitive team. And the Rams still stay afloat. They're not that same dominant team that we saw when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, but they're still very relevant. I think that they will still be a tough team to play again next year as well. But let's go to our conference championship picks now. We've hit that mark in the show. Chiefs, Bills. Let's start in the AFC. Very, very exciting game. Cinema, this team matching up once again in the playoffs. That's what everyone really wants to see. If it were the Ravens, I think everyone would want to see that. If it's Joe Burrow's already done it. He's done it once. He didn't win the Super Bowl, but he did take down Mahomes. Now, it's a question of the big four. Can Lamar or Josh Allen take down Patrick Mahomes? Lamar couldn't last year. Josh Allen has yet to do that. I've been saying all year long, and it definitely fluctuates a lot because of the amount of wins that the Chiefs continue to rack up and the games that they've played down the stretch. And last week, the game that they played, that was a Chiefs win this year. That was how they play. And they won that game pretty much, I think, how a lot of people may have expected, seeing how this offense is now. And it's more of the defensive controlled team. But I've been saying it all year long. This is, if it's going to be a year, it's got to be this year for the Bills. They're running into a little bit of a different situation where the wins that the Chiefs have gotten over the last, let's say, like 2 months or so have been a lot more meaningful. Their schedule is a little bit easier than most teams. But the wins that they've had against good teams, they're the Chiefs. They've won those games. Now they're playing a Bills team that they played before that latter half of the schedule that did beat them and killed their offense, their undefeated season. Is it still the same story? It's yet to be seen. I'm very much looking forward to this game, and I'll stand on it. If it's gonna be any year, it's gotta be this year for Josh Allen. He had his best season. The Bills probably had one of their better teams, and that's not with Stephon Diggs whatsoever, who's been Josh Allen's go-to target for the last 4 years or so. But if it's going to be this year, the Bills need to do it this year and take advantage of the type of play that Mahomes has had. If he finds Travis Kelce and he gets that going, it's going to be very hard. If the rush game comes to life, let's say Isaiah Pacheco comes out of nowhere and has a really good game, I'm not going to rule that out. His season was definitely derailed from that injury, and he really hasn't had the same explosiveness since coming back. But not going to rule it out. The weapons on offense are still really solid if you're the Chiefs. This is going to be – it's not going to be a shootout, but I could see it being kind of like that Eagles-Rams game where it's 28-22. Maybe even last week for the Bills, 27-25. Don't think it's going to be overly high scoring, but it's going to go down to the end, though.
Yeah, I agree that Chiefs usually keep scores low, especially in big games. They keep scores low and they find ways to win. So I think that'll be a similar story. I had Bills on the spreadsheet until about like 10, 15 seconds ago.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Switched it up.
I just think that, yeah, there's just the that the Chiefs have, you know? It's wordless, just, yeah.
They got the, yeah. They got absolutely. The,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
I hear you.
And after, I think the Bills also have that, but it's more like a, yeah. Not like a, yeah. And I just don't think they have enough, yeah, to out, you know, perform the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because the Bills are kind of a team like that, too, where they'll, like last week, although didn't really have anything to do with them, it's kind of a Mark Andrews drop, but they were forcing fumbles, they were going to work, it's not like they did nothing. The Bills are one of those teams that just kind of, they could put points up, but they'll also just squeak it out sometimes. Josh Allen didn't have a great game. He found the way to just, I'm just going to get the ball in the end zone, we're just going to go to work, and we're going to squeak it out, and they did. But the Chiefs are the kind of the king of that. So I don't think they'll be able to, as much as I'd love to see Josh Allen take out Mahomes, I don't see it happening. I see a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl more in my head. It's just easier to visualize. So I'm going to go Chiefs. I would love to see Pacheco make a cool run. I actually love him as a player. He's a fun guy to watch, right? But, you know, we'll see what happens. Kareem Hunt has been playing well, too. So, but if they do get that run game going, it's gonna be really hard to stop this team.
Well, first of all, Kurt Sibbel is shaking his head behind the glass. I'm going to go with the Bills because it's just time for them. Like, they have to eventually – they have to do this. They beat the Chiefs. Now, that was in Buffalo. That was week 11. Kind of a different ballgame now. Obviously, this game is at Arrowhead. The Chiefs – at Arrowhead are fantastic. I believe they're perfect this season at home. Patrick Mahomes is 3-0 over Josh Allen in the playoffs. You had the divisional round last year. You had that all-time game a couple years ago. But this is, I think you were putting it nicely, Will, this is the best Bills team that Josh Allen has had, even without Stephon Diggs, which we saw that tandem for so many years and it worked so well. They've come together in such a way that it has been so perfect. And the Chiefs, they have been putting up the wins, but this is not the best Chiefs team performance-wise that they've ever had. I don't think.
And it's crazy. They're 15-2. And
yeah.
I agree with
it's
you.
It's outrageous.
I think they were better last year, and they only won like 10 games.
Right. So I just think that if all is right, that the Bills, by logic's way, should win this game because I do think they're a better team. That said, it is the Chiefs and they can do anything. Patrick Mahomes can do anything. But I think this has the makings of a game that we will remember for a very long time, but I am going to take the Bills purely because I think they're a better team. And I think that might be what it comes down to, the conference championships.
Well, Eli picks the Chiefs. Grace picks the Bills. Joe also picked the Bills. And for your touchdowns, Grace has Kareem Hunt. Joe has James Cook and Eli sticking with Josh Allen. I love it.
My dog.
It's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to this one. For my pick, even though I'm not in it anymore, I will pick the Chiefs, though. I think they're just kind of inevitable. If their defense sticks to it like they have been, it's going to be really tough for the Bills to get something going. And like I said, I will stay on this hill that if it's any year, it's got to be this year for the Bills. The way that this defense has played for the Chiefs over the last few weeks, though, makes it that much more difficult for them to win this ball game. Nevertheless, it's going to come down to the wire. Really looking forward to it, though. Go ahead, man.
Let me say this.
Please.
We've been doing this a long time.
Long time.
Not really. You know, I've only been, you know, I'm a senior, but.
Long time, though.
A little bit of long time. Been around the block, okay?
Sure.
So, what I'm saying is, and this is really why I changed my pick a few seconds ago, and I kind of got it out with the nyehs, but what really is it is you just don't bet against the Chiefs.
Yeah, you just don't
ever do it. The only time I would do it is if the Chiefs and Eagles see each other in the Super Bowl. I'll go Eagles.
That's Ooh. Fair.
But yeah. I've done it like. This is like kind of a weird way to like organize it, but freshman, sophomore, as I'm growing as a person, smarter, been around the block a couple more times. Freshman, sophomore year, when I was a young guy in the studio, I said that I'm
just ripping takes.
Yeah, just come on, Russell Wilson, first year with the Broncos, MVP, he's back. That was said on air. I was wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is here. LeBron.
LeBron. You take a seat. We have a chair open in studio for you.
We have Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons now. Just ripping takes. I'm coming back down to earth. Part of me wants to just go, Josh Allen, Bills. But it's, yeah. I'm gonna take a deep breath. Chiefs are going to win.
Last thing we got to cover here is the NFC. The battle of the NFC East. How about that? It
Who would have thought?
It shows that the Giants play in a very tough division.
That's what it shows.
They play in a very tough division.
No wonder they're so bad.
Exactly. Yeah, they're the worst of one of the best divisions in football.
Come on.
Maybe the best in the NFC. Now it's a stretch. NFC North is really good. But none of them are playing in the conference championship.
Sorry.
Commanders at the Eagles. Fun one, for sure. Right off the rip, we did talk a lot about the Eagles just now. I will go with the Eagles. Love the story for the Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels has proven enough. Even at win or lose this game, this is a massive, massive success. They have a lot to build on. And if you're Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, you are ecstatic. Obviously, you want them to win. But nevertheless, I think you have a W in this season overall, even if you lose this game. I will go with the Eagles, though. It's very much like this Rams game that they just had. The Eagles are just more talented all over the field, and it will be a Saquon Barkley dominated game.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are just too talented. I agree that this has been an awesome run. I think Jaden Daniels, after last week's win, was enough to say Jaden Daniels is beyond our guy. Like, this is the guy.
For sure.
I think if you're talking about, after last week's win, if you're talking about top five quarterbacks, I think he sits right there at five under Josh Allen, Lamar, Mahomes, and Burrow. After that win, and coming in rookie year, having this kind of performance, unless you're thinking of another guy that I'm not thinking of, which is possible. I might be missing someone. But Jaden sits right there and one of the best QBs in the league in his rookie year. I think I can already confidently say that I take him over just about anyone if I'm going quarterback. I have a lot of faith in him. But I think it has to come to an end here. Grace, you were talking about, like, you just want to see the run keep going, right? Mm-hmm. It just feels like it has to continue because it's just so much fun and so explosive. And I'd love to see it continue, but also it kind of, there's some aspect for me that just feels like it's got to end. Like, it's just too much. It's too beautiful.
It's too good.
It's too good. It's going to come crashing down. And I think the Eagles give them a little bit of a reality check this week with their overall just talent.
Yeah, I also have to go with the Eagles, unfortunately. I think we said this last week, too. No rookie quarterback has ever started in a Super Bowl. So the gravity of the situation is a lot. But there's one. I think, Will, you might have been alluding to this earlier. There's a way that the Commanders can make it difficult, and that's just to keep scoring. However, even with the mobility concerns with Jalen Hurts, you still have Saquon Barkley, who's really going to be the difference maker in this game. He has been the difference maker for the Eagles this season. No question about it. I'm not worried if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm really not that worried. Magical run for the Commanders. But as much as I hope it continues, and I do think, storybook-wise, it should continue, I think the Eagles are just, on paper, just too good in almost every aspect that you can think of. They're so talented. So I do have to take the Birds.
Commanders also don't have a very good rush defense. They actually have the 30th best rush defense.
That's fascinating.
In the National Football League overall. So you're playing against the best running back in football who's going to get MVP votes as he was one of the finalists. But I think that's just about going to do it. We have a very, very fun conference championship weekend ahead of us. Once again, it's always a great time. And we will see who makes the trip down to New Orleans for Super Bowl 59 in a couple of weeks after this weekend. Very much looking forward to it. First game, Eagles-Commanders, 3 p.m. Eastern in Philadelphia. The second, Chiefs-Bills in Kansas City at 6:30. Both games on Sunday. Well, a lot of fun, guys. Always a lot of fun. Hopefully we will be back here next week to talk about who the Super Bowl matchup will be for Super Bowl 59. But for Eli Keeler and Grace McCarron, I'm Will Talent. Thanks for tuning in. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.